Good morning, everyone. Hi, my name's Ken McKinney. I've been a member of this church for going on 9 years with my wife, Leah, who leads the children's ministry here as well. Pastor Nate is away from us right now on sabbatical, the second part of a sabbatical, and he is doing a long walk. Have you guys seen the emails? He's hiking. It's a long walk. It's a long walk. So, it would be a long way for him to get here, so instead, he's doing his own long walk, and we'll be here for him today. So let me just say, if you don't have a Bible and would like one, you can raise your hand, and these handsome men will come and deliver one to you. And then also, there's some notes pages that they can hand over to you. And then also, if you are on this side of the auditorium, there's baskets under your chair. We'd ask you to pick up the basket and move it across, but not just move it across as if there's nothing in it. There are communication cards inside, and if you're new here around the church, we'd love for you to fill out your information so that you can be in communication with the church also moving forward. So I think that gets us ready to go. Okay, so I have us starting out with an image on the screen behind me. I just love this image. Do you guys see this like when you're driving around, right? Right. Contents may cause happiness, okay? Today, and I loved, Jenny, thank you for just sharing, opening us up in worship and just sharing your own sense of good news. That's really what the message today is about. It's good news. So tell your neighbor, it's good news. No, really, tell your neighbor, it's good news. Okay. So just like this Amazon truck, I know I was talking to my wife, when that thing shows up unexpectedly, you're like, that's good news. But the reality is we're going to be talking today really about the gospel and being people who deliver the good news of the gospel, the final mile, to the people who are in our own life and community. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this, but there's a social media little phrase or tag that people use, and it's silly because if I say it, you know, the whole point is if you know, you know. But anyway, so nobody got that. Okay, IYKYK, you see people tag that in their social media, and it means if you know, you know. And it's considered like an insider phrase, right? The cool kids know. If you know, you know. We don't even have to tell you. And for followers of Jesus, I think we have a if you know, you know. And Jenny already launched us out with it this morning, which is just simply, is there any greater gift than when you came to know the love of God in Jesus? Is there any greater gift? And Scripture promised us, and most of us in this room would testify, that knowing Jesus is actually the greatest gift of all time. Greatest gift in my life as well, and yours probably. He's my strength. He's my joy. In him, we're forgiven. We're adopted into his family, this family. I don't know why I'm so emotional. My kids were in Africa for like 2 weeks. They just came back, so I'm emotional. There you go. And the goal of this series is really just like this Amazon truck. It's to equip us to deliver, to extend, to carry the good news of God to our world. And to our world, like our local world, to the relationships who God has entrusted to us. And I have the privilege of kind of giving a quick recap on the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks really, 6 or 7 weeks of this series that we're calling Neighboring. The restorative power of blessing others. In this series and at the 20-year anniversary that we just celebrated for the church, we've been asking this question, are we sharing the gospel? Are we still sharing the gospel? Are we sharing the gospel, this gift of the good news, with the next generation? Are we sharing the gospel with our neighbors? Are we sharing the gospel with our coworkers, our family? And the hope of this series is that we can kind of embody some practical ways of sharing the love of God today in our context. And so I ask, how are we doing? How are you doing? We're like 7 weeks into saying, you know, we really hope that our church can be a community who, which I'm going to recap here in a second. And I just want to encourage us, we really mean it. Nate really means it. As a community, it's our hope that we can take this incredible message, incredible experience that we have. And my goal this morning is both to reflect on the incredible length that others have gone to bring the good news of the gospel to us, and then to encourage us, even challenge us, to carry the good news of the gospel the final mile to the people who we're in relationship with and maybe others are not. So let me pray, and then we'll get into it. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the good news that you do indeed love all of us, that you sent your son to come and to spread the distance that we can't spread, to bring your love to us because we couldn't reach you on our own. We thank you for the good news that he brings us, restores us in relationship to you, God, and that we now can be carriers of your love and blessing to others as well. I pray, God, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, and just kindle in us, Lord, the joy, the reminder of how exciting it is to know you and the good news that it is to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so following the resurrection of Jesus, which we just talked about that like it's no big deal, Jesus came back to life and appears for like 40 days on and off, kind of like whack-a-mole. Now you see him, now you don't, for 40 days to his disciples. And he comes to a moment when, following that, he gives a command, a great command, the Great Commission, we call it, to his disciples. So imagine that Jesus is giving you kind of, this is your commission, this is the command. Moving forward, I'm going to go away from you. He's literally standing there reincarnated, right? To me, that would just freak me out over and over again. So, and then this is where we find it in Scripture, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me." I mean, he's just raised himself from the dead. "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." I like how it's represented here in the Message version. It says, "God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age." And 2,000 years and over 2 billion believers later, that's how we're sitting here today. Growing from this small group after Jesus' resurrection, we don't know exactly the right number, but his disciples who are 12 and, you know, maybe 30, maybe 100, within 10 years, there are about 10,000 believers. 1,000. Picture about 1,000 believers in less than 10 years, 10,000 believers by about 100 years after Jesus, and 34 million believers by about 300 years after Jesus ascends. And that's still snowballing today. We're still growing, and we've hit over 2 billion people who know and believe in the good news of Jesus, and it's still growing, especially in areas like Africa and Asia. It's still growing rapidly today. So this is good news that's still moving forward with massive growth. And believers have responded to Christ's command and commission by carrying the good news literally to the ends of the earth, by translating it think about what it began was a foreign language to all of us and a fairly unknown language, no reason we should know it. It's been translated now to nearly every language on earth. There's an incredible movement of people trying to reach the final spoken language so that the language of the word is actually in your mother tongue, not just something you can read about, but it's been translated to get into your own heart language. And from that day to this, we've been teaching people and discipling them to know Jesus personally and to grow in his ways. Our youth, some of them are here, our youth have just returned from sharing the gospel in communities in South Africa, where people from a lot of different African nations find themselves, they've migrated, they're living in what has turned out to be kind of poor income squatter camps, and many of whom are not aware of the message of Jesus. And even our own kids have gone all that way to try to share the good news of the gospel with them, to carry the good news in person. So how can we play our part in carrying the good news of Christ, the final mile, in our own world? One of the biggest practical takeaways that I have from this series was the first week when Nate talked about blessing. Jesus, as we just read, instructs his disciples to go into all the world to make disciples. Of course, that's what has led to conversion, but as Nate said, it was a strategy of blessing. And here's the big reveal. This will hopefully be memorable for us even as an acronym for our community moving forward. Jesus modeled living among people who were far from God. That's the first thing. Jesus came and he came from heaven to earth. We call that the incarnation, coming and taking on our flesh, coming to live in our world. So Jesus came to live among people who were far from God. And he ate with them. He touched people. He healed people. And ultimately, he pointed them to the truth of God's kingdom by sharing the word of the kingdom. And it wasn't a high-pressure sales tactic, Nate said in the first week, but genuinely extending the blessing of God on the people he created and on the people he loves. And I love how Nate finished that. He said, blessing is something a good friend would do to another friend. So why is this important to us? Why is it even noteworthy that we are going to spend so many weeks on it? And I think, you know, Nate also brought up at the first week this idea, the difference between being a converter and a blesser. And he talked about how we react differently to people that we sense are trying to get us to do something or believe something that's kind of foreign to us. He said most people see efforts to convert to anything, the phone you use, the, you know, underwear you wear, whatever it is, your favorite foods. People tend to resist anything that feels kind of forced, and it can even feel offensive to us. And I'm just as likely as anyone to feel suspicious, defensive, and even irritated when someone has an uninvited opinion. You know what that is? Like an uninvited opinion. Like, I didn't ask for your opinion. So, thank you. And, you know, I'm not that interested. So it's an uninvited opinion. And people have a certain reaction to an uninvited opinion, but a very different reaction to an unexpected blessing. You know, and you know that, when there's like an unexpected blessing, it leaves people feeling grateful, open, and even interested. Like, what was that about? Why would someone do such a thing? Can you tell me more about that? And so one of the things that we see in the stories of Jesus is he was always overcoming the religious stereotypes of his day. And if you could think about that, the religion of his day was trying to represent him to the world, and he constantly had to correct them. And I think we have to overcome some religious stereotypes that we live in today as well. So we're going to look at a story real quick, Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4. If you want to turn there, I'm going to really just kind of recount it. We see an encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. While Jesus is traveling, he's traveling from one place to another through Samaria, which is kind of a place that the Jews at the time really didn't even want to walk through for the most part, let alone interact with people. And Jesus stops at about midday, sits down next to a well in an area that they say was near where Jacob's original well was from years before. And Jesus asks a woman, a Samaritan woman, both of which are considered by Jews to be outcasts. For a man to talk to a woman and for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan, both of those things were like, that shouldn't happen. So he talks to a woman and asks her to draw water for him. And in this exchange, he reveals to the woman both that he is the Messiah, and then she in turn moves and carries that message into her own neighborhood. And the thing I think that's interesting here is he asks for for her to draw water for him, and it's a seemingly simple request that leads to a profound conversation about spiritual thirst. And I think that's kind of what I want us to think about today. It's a it's a simple, seemingly simple conversation or request that leads to a profound conversation about spirituality. And that's really what we have the ability to do in our everyday life as well. Becoming people who can operate telling the stories of Jesus, telling the stories of our own lives, and having a seemingly simple conversation with a neighbor about an incident that's happened in their family, and having that become a door to a profoundly spiritual conversation about spiritual thirst and the nature of worship in this, true worship in this story. And in so doing, he reveals to a woman who he shouldn't be talking to, from a different people group who he shouldn't be talking to, that he is actually the Messiah. And then what's amazing is she runs off and tells that story to everyone she knows. And we read later in the same chapter that the people of her community then say, "We don't just believe that he is the Messiah because you told us anymore. Now we've come." Jesus stayed for an extra few days because of their interest. So after all of this, they should be enemies, and they do. He does something that surprises them, and instead they ask him to stay, and he stays. And the gospel gets planted and shared for the first time in Samaria during this time. So how did the gospel reach you and your family? My story, I find interesting. I'm not a first-generation Christian. I'm a second-generation Christian. My mom actually was abandoned as a toddler by her mom with the babysitters. So my grandparents on my mom's side are the babysitters, no blood relation. And so my mom grew up, and some of you may know that abandonment is a thing that it shapes the way that you think and look in the world, really for the rest of your life. So my mom grew up in a family that was caring for her, and she ended up going to UCLA, but she turned everything to academics. She was an atheist. She was, in the 1960s, a feminist. Women's lib movement was something she was passionate about. And she married my dad, who at the time was an alcoholic, who had wrecked the car, had nearly killed the family, and just all these things. His life was turning around, so he found himself going back to church. And my mom, finally, kind of being an academic, said, I better read the text so that I can tell him of the fallacy of his belief. So she picks up the New Testament, she reads the New Testament, and falls in love with Jesus. Amen. And she said, he was literally what she had been looking for. My dad's story was also interesting, and I think it's kind of relevant to us right now. My dad traces his faith back to a neighborhood invitation. Someone knocked on the door and invited he and his brother to the local vacation Bible school. And we're doing a basically vacation Bible school here next week or 2 weeks from now in our church. And out of that one invitation and lots of turns of life later, my dad, who, you know, was one thing and then another, my dad's brother became a missionary to the Philippines for over 30 years. And that was like a missionary when you had to get on a ship and go to a foreign country that you didn't know anything about. You didn't just fly there and back like our kids did this week. You had to be gone for several years. We had a family reunion just 2 weeks ago. The only reason we have this annual family reunion is because they would only come home every 4 years as missionaries, and so we would gather everybody together. And that became a tradition that we've continued ever since. One of the stories was that the kids who lived in the Philippines, you know, when they came home, you had to be careful because if they just found a corner, they might pee in it because, you know, they had to be told, well, here we have toilets. So my uncle became a missionary, and then my dad, years later, became a pastor in the local church and has planted and led several churches for a ministry of over 50 years now. We just celebrated 2 years ago his 50-year anniversary. And you think about, what if the gospel hadn't reached your household? At my uncle's memorial, more than half of the 300 attendees were from the Philippines, and many of them shared, person after person at the mic, how grateful they were to know Christ as a family because of his family. And my dad's 50-year celebration was similar. People who had been far from God came to believe in Jesus, get baptized, become discipled, and went on to disciple others. And I can't tell you how many people came to us just one at a time and said, you know, your mom, your dad, their impact on our marriage, we can't even tell you the difference. Like, we wouldn't be together today had they not been in our lives. And so this is the power of the gospel just unpacking itself in our local context. And so what's holding us back from blessing the people that God's entrusted to you, to us? Pastor Nate said when he planned this series, it was to equip us as a community to be a people who love God, who know the truth of God's love for the world, and are passionate to extend it, to extend his love and share the good news of Jesus. And I'd like to say, in person. To be a community of hope who know the truth of God's love for the world and Jesus, and who are passionate to extend his love and share the good news of Jesus in our world and in person. You know, Jesus didn't choose a megaphone to share the gospel. Instead, he came in person. He invested in a handful of people and modeled and taught the kingdom in person and taught his disciples this way of loving people in person and sharing in person with people. And little by little, 2,000 years and 2 billion people later, it's worked. That's the model that Jesus put in motion. Not to say that there aren't, I'm using a microphone right now. It's not to say that God hasn't used a million ways to share the gospel, but primarily the gospel moves from person to person. Discipleship happens from person to person because that's the model that Jesus gave us. And like Nate said, it was a model, a strategy of blessing. So, how has the gospel changed your life and family? I kind of want us to just think about being people who can tell the stories. Jenny shared briefly part of her story. I've shared a little bit about my parents and their story. Our kids just went to Africa and began sharing their stories with people that were far from them. And so I want to just encourage us to get comfortable telling Jesus stories. You might be surprised how powerful telling a simple Jesus story can be today, especially for people who don't know the stories. My friend Corey, who we've been lifelong friends since our childhood, my friend Corey just told me a story about he and his wife were doing a premarital counseling class at their church, and there was a couple there who were being remarried, and they both had kids already, and the wife kind of insisted that they get this premarital, remarital counseling, and the husband's heavily tattooed, and he says he's never been comfortable in church or around church or with anything kind of religious. And so, but he asked Corey to stay after class and tell him more about what this church is really all about. So Corey said he told him the story of four friends who carried the paralytic man to Jesus for healing. You guys know this story? And to everyone's surprise, you know, it's kind of amazing. If you've ever watched the Chosen series, it's kind of, they do it really well in one of the episodes. They break through the roof where Jesus is. It's too crowded to get their friend to the healer, and so they break through the roof, and their faith is on display. And Jesus says, "You know, son, your faith, because of your faith, your sins will be forgiven." And I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure that's not why he and his buddies had come. That's not what they had in mind, but it certainly wasn't what the religious people had in mind who were near him, because for a man to say your sins will be forgiven was considered blasphemy. And so Jesus, at the same time, was going to heal this man. He ended up healing this man, and at the same time confronted the religious of his day to say that they weren't really representing accurately the way that God had viewed people. You know, they thought, oh gosh, if he's paralytic, he must have some terrible sin on his life and his parents' life and his parents' parents' life. And you know, Jesus is there to say, actually, I'm coming to kind of break through some of the belief that we have and bring the love of God to you in person. And so, you know, they caused that uproar with the religious at the same time. And Corey texted, we were texting back and forth about this. He said, I told him those stories because he had never heard them. So he just started there. I was thinking about what stories to tell this guy, and he told him a few, one of which was this one, because he'd never heard them, and I wanted to show him that Jesus was both strong but also kind. I was trying to connect some biblical accounts of Jesus that he might be surprised to hear. So can you, similarly, get comfortable telling Jesus stories to people who are unfamiliar with them? Maybe you tell that story. Maybe you tell the woman at the well story. And I think we also want to be increasingly comfortable telling our own stories. So if you can get to the point of this message over the last several weeks, is to be a people who have come to be a blessing and can pause long enough to listen. And when you can listen, like my friend Corey's listening to this couple who are seemingly out of place but are interested. Seemingly out of place but are spiritually hungry. And Corey's like, what can I offer them? Listen to your friend and then share something relevant. A story from the Word. What else is relevant? Here's something I think that's always relevant. What has God been speaking to you this week through the Word? Just something that's always relevant. It's like, oh man, I was so stressed at work this week, and I was seeing this verse, this one verse. You know, I'm a believer, and there's a verse that just really spoke to me this week. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Have you ever heard that verse before? Your friend's like, "No." You're like, well, that's kind of a lot of words, but basically, it's like you can pray to God and God will give you peace, even when your circumstances don't seem to add up. Now we're talking a real conversation with real people, and we're having a spiritual conversation, and all you're doing is saying, man, here's something that happened this week in my life, and here's something that was valuable to me, and maybe it would be valuable to you. So listen to your friend, share something relevant, and then let them know. God wants to reveal himself in their story too. God wants to reveal himself in their story, and he has the power to redeem what's been lost and broken in their story. This is what makes the good news good news. And so I want to ask, who has God positioned you uniquely to carry the gospel to in your life? I do some work with athletes. I work for a nonprofit, and I have a strange privilege to work with professional athletes. And it's amazing to watch them. What a crazy life. You know, they just get a call, and they have to switch. Well, you were playing for this team. Now you're playing for that team. Don't hold it against the athletes. They go where they have to go. And it's amazing to watch them. One of my friends, they posted in social media, like, okay, I guess God has us going to Los Angeles now. He must have a space for us there. And they're constantly aware that they've been uniquely positioned to reach a very specific people with the platform and the relationships God has given them. And I think that's how I hope we can view where God has us right now as well. So how are you uniquely positioned, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, your friends at school? How has God uniquely positioned you to be the person like the Amazon delivery truck who brings the good news of the gospel in person to people who are far from God? That's our hope. Let me pray for us. God, we just thank you again that you have done all the work to bring the gospel to us. That God, you've told us to be people who can bear your gospel forward to others. And I pray, God, that you would just help us recommit ourselves to being gospel delivery trucks to the people you've assigned to us in our neighborhood, in our places of work, in our families. God, give us the courage. Let us use a message like this to teach us some tools. And God, help us to be people of blessing who are willing to listen, willing to eat with people who are far from you, willing to serve people who are far from you, so that ultimately we can win the opportunity to share with people who are far from you just how far you'll go to know them in person, to love them and restore them, in Jesus' name. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.